Hello, this is Chris Marquardt, host of Photography Tips from the Top Floor, and you're listening to the Petapixel Podcast with Sharky James. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 34. The top 10 most popular stories of 2015. In this episode, Strobus David Hobby has a cool new venture. A hotel asks not to be photographed. We tell you why. Tens of thousands register their drones in the U.S. And we have the top 10 most popular Petapixel stories of 2015. All that and more in episode 34 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Chris, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it. Many of you are already familiar with Chris Marquardt, his podcast Tips from the Top Floor, which has been around for like a decade now, and his weekly appearances on Leo Laporte's Tech Guy show. Chris is one of the reasons why I got into podcasting, and I'm so thankful that he took the time to record an intro for us. To check out his workshops, his podcast, and more, visit him at tfttf.com. Before I forget, I wanted to wish you all a happy new year. You know, it's hard to believe that 2015 is coming to an end already. I feel like 2015 just started. I had an amazing year, and you all are a big part of it. You know, a podcast is nothing without an audience. Otherwise, I'd just be talking to myself. And I already do enough of that as it is. Seriously, though, I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 34 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And we also greatly appreciate you telling your friends about this podcast. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. Thanks to a reader, we learned about a little sitch that happened on Twitter involving a photo posted by user Quentin Washington featuring a Courtyard by Marriott hotel in Charleston, South Carolina. So why is it a problem that the hotel was in his photo? Well, apparently someone from the hotel didn't appreciate that also in the photo was the Mother Emanuel AME Church, the site of a shooting that killed 9 people back on June 17th, 2015. After seeing his photo, the official Twitter account for that hotel sent out a tweet which said, quote, "At Quentin on camera, we respectfully ask that you not include the hotel in Mother AME photos, TY," end quote. Now, TY means thank you, by the way, in case you're wondering. And this entire thing is ridiculous, of course. By tweeting this out, they unnecessarily drew more attention to the photo than was already there. And what's even more ridiculous is it's just a snapshot. And it's not like the hotel is prominently featured in this photo. The church is dead center, but it's quite a distance away. And the hotel is off to the side. It isn't even the focus of this photo. You know, I get how a business wouldn't be thrilled about being associated with a murder scene, of course. But guess what? They weren't. Well, until they tweeted about the photo. Now they are. No one was associating that Courtyard by Marriott location with the murders at all. The buildings are a block or so apart on the same street, and that is it. With this tweet, they managed to make themselves the latest example of the so-called Streisand effect. Named after the once popular singer and actress Barbara Streisand, whose actions in 2003 to keep photos of her Malibu, California house from being published ended up actually causing way more people to see it. Before Streisand's lawsuit, photographer Kenneth Adelman's photo of her estate, which he photographed to document coastal erosion as part of the California Coastal Records Project, had only been downloaded 6 times. But as a result of all this publicity brought on by the suit, Streisand inadvertently caused hundreds of thousands of people to see the photo. Talk about unintended consequences, right? You don't want anyone to see what your house looks like, and suddenly nearly 500,000 people see it. I bet she wasn't expecting that to happen. So the hotel in South Carolina clearly needs to learn some lessons on how to use social media, because this didn't go at all as planned, just like with Barbara Streisand. Washington was interviewed by the Charleston City Paper saying, quote, "I was absolutely flabbergasted. I couldn't believe that they would ask me to remove a photo that wasn't really relevant to them. It was more relevant toward Mother Emanuel and actually the weather, because as you saw with the Twitter caption, it said, the Mother Emanuel Way Memorial District on a warm Sunday afternoon in December. I took it on a public sidewalk right as I was running out after work, To me, it was very innocuous. It was harmless, end quote. Now, according to the Post and Courier, the hotel says that the staff at that location didn't handle things properly, and they're doing what they can to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And you bet they are. You know, whoever sent that tweet out definitely had a pretty uncomfortable talk with, you know, management higher up. Petapixel reader Skip Bradley had this to say, quote, "They saw it as possible bad PR and respectfully requested, probably not knowing the legality of it. He/she's a motel manager, not an attorney or photographer. I'm not going to fault him or her for attempting. He or she asked nicely when they could have been a real jerk about it," end quote. Now, to that, another reader, J.R. Connor, said, quote, "I agree, the request was well-mannered, but it was still an outrageous request that never should have been made, and I think the person who made it should have known better. Even if that person didn't know the photographer was within his legal rights, that person should have had the wit to realize the request would have had the banned in Boston effect. The hotel does deserve credit for its quick apology. That's good damage control," end quote. Hey, I agree with both of them. I'm a reasonable person, I think. You know, the person in charge of the hotel's Twitter account thought they were doing the right thing at the time, and I'm sure they now see that they didn't need to make that request to the photographer. And I chose to do this story because as photographers, it's important to be aware of your rights. You know, I can't speak to the laws anywhere other than here in the United States, but it's a good idea to familiarize yourself with said rights. But that said, if the hotel's request was reasonable and it made sense to do so, I have no problem with a photographer accommodating the request. You don't have to be so rigid that you can't be a reasonable person, I think. In this case, it was just a snapshot showing two landmarks. Two buildings which have occupied the same street for years and will likely do so for many years to come. You know, it's kind of hard to exclude the hotel unless you shoot from the side with the church to your back and completely not get the church in the photo at all. But most people who are going down there to take pictures want the church in the photo. And sometimes the hotel is going to sneak in the photo as well. That's just how it is. Now, as it turns out, the hotel employee who sent that tweet was on duty the night of the horrible tragedy down the street. So they were a bit shaken by it, of course. So they posted out of emotion. And I think that's something that we can all relate to. So I'm going to give them a pass. Not that it's up to me. You know, they didn't mean to cause any trouble. They just went through a lot that night and they acted out of emotion. But as photographers, we're told what to do all the time by others. So I don't think it's unreasonable to stand up for ourselves when appropriate to do so. And here on the podcast, we champion photographers' rights because as a collective, we need to stand up for each other or we're going to get taken advantage of. So I think it's very important and it can be done respectfully. Until January 9th, 2016, for qualifying Canon camera and lens purchases, the camera giant is offering 13 months of damage protection and priority service. The Care Pack Plus benefits include protection from accidental damage such as drops, spills, and power surges. So if you're thinking about buying a new Canon camera and/or lens, hit the show notes for this episode to see the qualifying list and the full details. If you're a big fan of off-camera flash, you likely know photographer David Hobby from the extremely popular Strobus.com blog. Well, now Hobby has announced a new endeavor called the Photographer's Oil Collective, POC, a service that turns photos into one-of-a-kind, hand-painted oil reproductions. You know, there are existing services out there already for turning photos into paintings, but the Photographer's Oil Collective distinguishes itself by concentrating on producing much, much higher quality results. Hobby traveled all the way to Xiamen, China, and handpicked a small group of artists out of the thousands available to him for this premium service. Of the talented artists, Hobby refers to them as, quote, four of the best reproduction oil painters in the world, end quote. He worked closely with the painters to help them think more like photographers and fine-tune their style to be more in line with what Western aesthetics are. Now, to help photographers shoot in a way which will produce more ideal results, Hobby has put together a comprehensive informational packet available for download on the site. It includes resolution guidelines, how to light portraits creating a more painterly style, and what to shoot for to produce the best results. Now, even if you don't partake in this service, it is definitely a good read, and I think you're going to gain something from it as a photographer. So make sure you download it because it's definitely a good read. Hobby says, quote, "A photographer can now create a museum-quality oil painting, and it can be done at a surprisingly accessible cost," end quote. This service is available right now with the smallest size, a 16 by 20 inch, going for $750 US, with the largest, a 36 by 48 inch, coming in at $1,200. The price includes up to two subjects in your photo, with additional subjects adding an extra $150. These paintings each have 6 to 7 levels of oil paint and take months to paint, dry, and finish. These clearly aren't rushed items. You know, canvas prints are cool, but if you've got the time and the money, these oil reproductions could be a special way to transform your photos into something timeless, something that'll be an heirloom for your family. To commission a painting, or just to see how incredible these artists are, head on over to photographersoilcollective.com. Camera retailing giant B&H sure hasn't had a very pleasant 2015. I think it's pretty safe to say that they're hoping for a much better year in 2016. Last time, it was disgruntled warehouse employees who were making accusations about how they were treated and such. This time around, it's a photographer accusing B&H of a bait and switch after a $7,100 US mistake stemming from a day after Christmas sale, which listed a Hasselblad H5D 50C camera and two lenses, a 28mm and an 80mm, for $14,500 combined. Now, the camera itself is currently priced at $14,500 US, and the two lenses, with a combined value of $7,104, appear to be thrown into a package for free. So you can imagine coming across this deal for what would normally be the cost of the camera, and you get $7,100 worth of lenses thrown in. That is a great, great deal. If you had the money and were in the market for a digital medium format camera like this, who wouldn't take advantage of that, right? Now, the screenshot clearly shows the two lenses being included for free, and in red, it lists their total value. The well-known photographer, who wishes not to be named, says that he was already planning to buy this camera as a business expense before the end of 2015 was out, and he and others chose B&H over other retailers because of this amazing deal with the two free lenses. Or what he thought was two free lenses, at least. You know, the webpage couldn't have been more clear about what offer was being made, and the email receipt to the photographer confirms it as well. It separately lists the body and each lens, the subtotal of all of that, and a line item entitled discount, with the $7,104 being removed from the purchase price. So that seems pretty darn straightforward, I think we would all agree. Well, the photographer later received an email from B&H telling him that the lens deal was a mistake, and that the lenses had been removed from his order. Now, I ask you, because I don't know, how does a mistake like this happen? Did they previously have a deal which included the two lenses? Was it a possible deal that they were thinking about in the future, just never made active, or didn't plan on making active? I don't know. I'm asking. The photographer tells us at Petapixel, quote, "While I would love to cancel my order and go elsewhere, the purchases need to go on this year's taxes, and that isn't possible if canceled, since funds over $10,000 are generally held for 72 hours in the case of a refund. I guess the craziest thing about all this is that had they not charged me, I would just have had a canceled order. However, I ended up buying everything and then receiving notice, not that the entire order was canceled, but that they had taken away items which I had already paid for. So in short, some high-end shooters got royally screwed from B&H this morning." End quote. Now, obviously, this was a mistake. B&H is so big and makes so much money that they don't need to be pulling a bait and switch. I think that's pretty safe to say. This isn't one of those fly-by-night operations, of course. The company is apologetic and admits that it made a mistake, saying, quote, "There was no time when we had intended to offer two free lenses with the Hasselblad H5D 50C and are very sorry for this entire situation," end quote. We reached out to Henry Posner, online reputation manager for B&H, who added to that saying, quote, "This was an error on our website, which we regret. Legally, this situation falls under the equitable doctrine of unilateral mistakes. We regret that the customer developed this misapprehension that this was a bait and switch, something I think that is unethical and something B&H has never in our 40-plus year history done or would do," end quote. B&H has since contacted the photographer directly to offer a $1,000 discount on the two lenses, which can still be dated as being made in 2015. Now, the company isn't saying how many photographers took advantage of this error on their website, but they say that they'll be contacting them each with an offer of compensation to make things better, or try to at least. Don't forget that back in May of 2015, a similar thing happened with Sony. In that case, though, their website temporarily listed the original A7R for $200 US rather than the $1,900 that it had been going for. And I know quite a few friends that took them up on that offer, but it turns out it was a mistake. And you know what? Mistakes happen. It's how you deal with them that's important, and it seems like B&H is doing what it can. User Just Me Who Else on our website had this to say, quote, "This is not like Sony or a $10,000 item being listed for $10. Someone literally had to combine this offer, code the webpage with the lenses, the discount on the final order. This was a designed offer that B&H doesn't want to honor. And the photographer should sue them. B&H is lying. A lot of things had to happen on B&H's end to make this offer happen. And it couldn't happen unintentionally." End quote. That's his opinion, of course. But one thing that I don't get is how a webpage for a camera body throws in two specific Hasselblad lenses, of all things, into the description with the words "includes free" and lists their value. So I don't get it. You know, if it wasn't on purpose, then over at B&H, they have a computer system that loves photographers so much that it wants to give them awesome discounts. Now, you get the point here. I bet they're doing whatever they can over at B&H to make sure that this generous computer doesn't dole out these kind of deals ever again. At least, hopefully. In just the first week of the FAA's National Drone Registry here in the United States, the agency says that some 45,000 drones have been registered online. But of course, it didn't go off without a hitch, as there have been reports that glitches may have exposed this info to strangers. The FAA announced that in just the first 24 hours, tens of thousands of registrations were completed, and with as many as an estimated 400,000 drones being sold this past holiday season, hopefully the bugs have been worked out by now. Oklahoma's KOTV6 reports that some drone owners are receiving certificates with the names and addresses of others on them. There are also reports of some being shown the credit card number of other people while using the registry, according to that TV station. So if you're eligible to wait until the February 6, 2016 registration deadline, maybe it's a good idea to hold off a little bit as they work out these issues. But don't forget, the $5 fee waiver ends on January 20th, 2016. Since this is the very last episode of 2015, I think it'd be fun to look back at the 10 most popular posts on petapixel.com. And what's funny is despite some really cool gear in 2015, none of those made the top 10. Not even Sony. We're going to have all the links to these in the show notes, of course. I want you to kick back and have a look back at 2015 with me. Coming in at number 10 was Richard Prince, who says he's an artist, jacking the Instagram photos of others, slapping on his own comment at the end, and then blowing up to 48 by 65 inch works, for which people with more money than sense have paid $100,000 a piece for. Yeah, how do I get in on that deal, right? This story raised questions about who's an artist and who's not, as well as the legality of taking someone else's copyrighted works, altering them, and making something for which you can profit from. And yeah, that is pretty annoying, especially if you're the one being ripped off. At number 9 was Ultimate Cheat Sheets for Photoshop and Lightroom. And I think we can all use a little help with Adobe's top photography programs. I know I was helped by these at least. Number 8 really hit close to home as fellow photojournalist David Carson, a Pulitzer Prize winner no less, was asked by ginormous CBS News to use his photos of a shooting near a high school football game for free. Carson was offended by this, of course, and tweeted back to them with, quote, "No, you can't have my photos for free. I'm a professional. Your offer is insulting." End quote. He stood his ground, and the photography world owes him a debt of gratitude as he's fighting the good fight. So many people would have been like, yeah, go ahead and use my photos. And that helps denigrate photography. At number 7 was one of my favorites, a Canon campaign showing how 6 photographers photograph a subject differently based on what they were told about him. From an ex-con to a self-made millionaire, the photos each tell quite a story, and I found them to be pretty inspiring. And I'm hoping this is something Canon will do more of in the future, because it's a really cool idea. And I'm all about photo projects, as you know. Number 6 garnered nearly 500 comments on our website, as news agency Reuters basically issued a worldwide ban on its contributing photographers submitting raw photos. Instead, they preferred the speed of JPEG, And this story really got a lot of people worked up. Like Mac versus PC and one religion versus another, the RAW versus JPEG thing really sets people off. You know, shoot what you want, I say. Who cares what format other people are shooting? It really doesn't matter. But if you're shooting for Reuters, it'd just better be JPEG. Number 5, I'm still convinced, was a little bit of a put-on, as a man allegedly borrowed his son's GoPro, attached it to a selfie stick, and spent his entire vacation in Las Vegas with it pointed toward him rather than the sights he was talking about. Now, I'm not sure how one does that, because it's pretty darn obvious where the camera is on a GoPro. All you have to do is look at it, and it's obvious from the start. So you think he would have noticed that, but nope. So for our 5th most popular story, I call shenanigans. It just might be in the running for my Shenanigans of the Year awards. And yes, I just made that up. Number 4 was a huge story. Singer Taylor Swift is one of the top earners every year, and her photography contract made news, as not only did it seem like a rights grab, it basically said that her people could grab your gear and break it if you didn't follow the rules. Yeah, that was a new one on all of us. It seemed like a child came up with that. And it backfired because the photography world sure let her know about it. But what's coming out of this debacle is hopefully a more reasonable contract for photographers and respecting the photographers who make her look good or could do just the opposite if they wanted to. Just ask Beyonce. At number 3 was a photo of a woman that was photoshopped by retouchers in 18 countries to show how beauty standards vary across the globe. Some made her super skinny and unhealthy looking, while others were more on the chubby side. You know, it's interesting to see what just can be done in Photoshop, especially with the Liquify tool. And also where society's collective heads are at the time. Heads and bodies. Number 2 was a great story about 31 rolls of undeveloped film shot by an unknown photographer back in World War II, which had been discovered and processed nearly 70 years later. These photos, part of the rescued film project, were shot by a photographer who will likely never be known, but it's interesting to step back in the time and see the war from his perspective. Pretty darn cool, I think. And coming in as the most popular post of 2015 is a photo of an individual who I personally find quite detestable based on his behavior, and I'm also not a big fan of his music either. And I have a feeling most of you are going to be with me on this. The post was about pop star Justin Bieber in his underwear from a Calvin Klein ad shoot, in which the retoucher allegedly took some liberties with his body and made some enhancements. They took the already fit Biebs and made it look more like he's spending more time in the gym than cranking out awful music. Hey, I told you guys I wasn't a fan, right? Later, the site which posted the animated GIF comparison, it's GIF, not GIF, by the way. I prefer GIF, but it's GIF. Removed the site after receiving a cease and desist notice. Are we still stuck on the GIF versus GIF thing? I said it. It's okay. Let's move on. The owner of the site said, quote, "Because Breathe Heavy is not about making anyone feel bad or intentionally stirring the pot, and are definitely not here for lawsuits, we shall retract the story per request. Bieber denies that the photo is real, and I respect that and will believe him," end quote. And with any luck, that'll be the last Justin Bieber story that we ever need to hear. So here's to a Bieber-free 2016. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 34 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Now, don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's L-E-N-S. S-H-A-R-K. All right, with that, I'll see you all in 2016 with episode 35. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, and 3. You don't want to forget about 3. 3's mom forgot about him. Sad story. Poor 3.